Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love him. I know he loves us. The Lord has a way of doing wonderful things for his people. And when we all go to heaven, everybody in heaven will know that the Lord did everything in his power to save those that he loved so much. He put people in place. He blesses creation with creation. He raised up people to minister to others. And so ministries are very unique and strategic, just like snowflakes. Every ministry has its own assignment. But to help raise people up, to minister people, to minister to people that will be mightily used of God and to win the lost. God raised up people to win the lost. Jesus said, pray that I send forth laborers. Now, a lot of times people think of a laborer as the preacher or the person who witnesses. But actually, the laborers include the whole team. You know, everybody that yields to the Lord becomes an operative. Years ago at Life and Abundance Fellowship in the Sundays, when I used to teach Sunday school there, I had a word called operatives. As long as you're yielded to the Holy Spirit, he'll guide you to do things that coincide with other works of God, same Spirit. And when you're following him, you just link to him, then all those who are doing the same thing, you're sharing in the same one work of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people don't know this. That's why they loosely put their agenda before God's. Being connected to the head is that's the principal thing. You got to stay connected. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. With Jesus, you may not always see the full end of what you're doing in this side, unless God show it to you, and he can. Or he can alert you to it like he did me. I don't see the whole thing, but he told me, the Lord keeps me abreast of what's going on, because I have a ministry I can't see the size of. So, but I depend on the Holy Spirit to help me be covenant appropriate and to be an operative. And I thank God for that. He raises up unique people that love him, that will obey him. Now, how did they get to that point? It's because they see him. They just wanted to know God like I did. I didn't set out to be a great minister or a man of God. I just wanted to love God and do right. I wanted to be a blessing to people. I didn't really want to preach, but I wanted to have a business and support ministry. But that wasn't God's plan. God gave me something specific to do. So sometimes if your ministry is not like Brother So-and-so's ministry, or like sometimes people want you to do the same thing. Well, everybody can't do the same thing Kenneth Hagin did. He started something, and the Lord's going to build on the foundation of it. That's how God works. Some people will do very much similar works, and sometimes God can raise up a person that ministry will mirror his if he needs it to. But see, when God builds a foundation, there's nothing wrong with it. You just build on top of it. You know, and I can see that. I thank God for the variations, and God used everybody's strengths that he gave them at creation when he created them. You know, people have the right strength to do what they're doing. So it's foolish to get mad at somebody because they do it a little bit different, or they don't, you know, sometimes church members get offended when people preach a little bit different than their pastor. They're used to that word, and that's all they're trusting God through that man. But when you grow out of that, you can see the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't take away from the people who got you started, but there's more to learn. Remember, the word said that we know in part. It's like we're looking through a glass darkly, and we learn as much as we can in this life. But at the end of our days, no matter how much we see, there's still so much more to see. And some people will be alerted to greater truth because of the foundational ministers. God always build up. And so everybody that comes after them, we're still standing on the shoulders. You might preach better. You might preach more refined. I've seen this happen. I ended yesterday's broadcast, and yesterday's broadcast was called Covenant Increase. Today's broadcast is called Principles. And the Lord, He builds up. But see, everybody that partook of the foundation, now God can go on and give them greater things. When you see a tree, the trunk of the tree, it's huge compared to the branches. All right, the foundation's got to be strong. If you ever cut a tree down, when you get down to the stump, the stump is much harder. It's a much harder wood than the trunk of the tree. I've seen this with my own eyes. I've seen the root so hard that when you try to cut it with a chainsaw, it'll shoot sparks like it's concrete. I really seen that. I said wood can make sparks just like concrete. The stump can. And you have to get a stump grinder. I tried to cut up a stump with a chainsaw before. Dulled my blade. I had to go get another chain and sharpen it, you know. But anyway, when this happens, is why? It's because that's where the pressure is. Whoever starts something, that's the foundation. You know, ultimately, Jesus is the foundation. But for different aspects of ministry, some people are foundational. They alert people to a truth that they may not see. In a lot of ways, I'm alerting people to get reconnected to the head, to follow God, keep Him first and foremost. And I bless this assignment. I bless this assignment in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that You'll take this word and carry it to every soul on earth that will hear it and use it. And bless their ministries to become much more faithful as they hear not only this word, but every word they receive. Because I know Your love causes others to see You. And I pray that You will cause them to retain everything that the Holy Spirit is giving forth to them. And I bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. And I, as You send them forth, Lord, bless them to be 100% successful. Bless them to get their 100-fold return on all that they give and sow and bless others with. In Jesus' mighty name, I rebuke all satanic interference. I rebuke the spirit of blindness. He can't shut their ears and dull their sight. Lord, I pray that You'll mightily move in the mighty name of Jesus. I love Him. You know, you have to bless what you're doing and protect it. So people need to know things, you know, foundational things don't go away. They don't change. They don't get old. In a generation where people believe they can write their own rules, they misinterpret liberty. Liberty, you know, if you compare the liberty of Satan, which is negative liberty, to the liberty of God, which is positive liberty, it's two different things. Now, the liberty of God, you're unrestricted when it comes to sin. You're free from sin, and you can do all things that's godly, that's good. But see, love has a positive bondage. Though you're free from sin, love causes you to be restricted from sin at your will. It doesn't push you around. Because of the love of God, there's no desire to cross the boundaries of love. And it's still everything of God is at your will. God doesn't brainwash, you know, as we understand brainwashers, people who brainwash others. They're hijacking somebody else's will, conforming it to their will. See, you have to be a liar to do that. You have to produce fear and use fear tactics. The Holy Spirit never uses fear tactics. Even when preachers preach on hell, it's a reality. And they show it to you so you can avoid it. And it's a good thing to know that it's down there. It motivates people to not want to go. But they can't stop sinning and they got to get right with God. And they want to. But that's not a fear tactic. That's just the way it is. It's a reality. Now, when you fear God, that's the beginning of knowledge. So that you still, your trust is still aimed at God. It's just at a different angle than love. When you love God, you know, you'll see him. When you appear in your heart, you'll understand him. But when you fear God, you do what he say, whether you want to or not. But if you do, that's good for you. You'll start learning and you'll find out he's good and you'll begin to love him. So sometimes people love God and they don't want to do wrong. And sometimes people fear God and they seek him and then they fall in love with him later. You're going to get all kind of testimonies from all kind of people. And how they entered the kingdom of God, it was ultimately because God loved us first. And he was patient with us. So that's the format that we build on. We love others that don't love us. Because why? That's what we learn. That's the first thing we learn from God. Jesus came to his own people. And they didn't receive him. They didn't love him. They wanted him dead. They wanted him killed. And after he laid down his life, as he was laying down his life, he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And some of those very same stout-hearted people got saved. Some of the Roman soldiers got saved. Some of the people got saved. Some of the people that sentenced him got saved. And some of them stayed hard and died. But when he come back, every eye will see him. When Jesus come back to the earth, everything in hell going to see him. The people that pierced him, the people that wanted him dead, the people that shouted for Barabbas, they're going to know it. The foundation of things is important. Jesus said, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion." And in that order. Now, Jesus said that, this is a remarkable statement that he made for us. And if you look at Mark 16, this statement is very remarkable, and you'll read right over it and not catch it if you read too fast. But when you consider what he said, it's very important. Right here it is. It's Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus, with verse 17, says, "And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." Now watch what Jesus said in verse 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All power is given to him in heaven and in earth. Now, we understand him as the Son of God, but he did all this as a man. And he will always be a man from now on. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And pay attention, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Now, he had already trained them at this point. He already told them, "Without me, you can do nothing." He told them to abide in the vine. Now, you know, the root is strong and it supports everything. And then the branches, they branch out. And then we bear fruit. Now, we become branches. And we teach things, we teach different elements of God's word. Now, I love the wisdom of God. Lester Summerall, Smith Wigglesworth, he did the work of Kenneth Hagin in the 1800s, at the turn of the century, in a way. All right, and Howard Carter, Lester Summerall was able to spend time with him when he was an old man. And God raised up. Now, he was in England, in Britain. But God raised up Kenneth Hagin in America, and he taught us how to live by faith. And I love the way God do things. They were gonna bury him in the backyard in a shoebox when he had a problem with his heart. But prayer, his grandmother and mother prayed for him, and he had an incurable blood disease, and he had a hole in his heart. He got healed from all of that as a teenager, and his testimony is very strong. And he believed God for his healing. And he was discouraged by cold religion. And he just kept breaking through. Now his mother, when he died, he went to hell twice. And that third time he believed on Jesus. And he came back to his body. And then he died again and he began to ascend. But he came back. And then he believed for healing. Against all odds, he did this. He learned, and then God raised him up to teach us faith. Now, if it wasn't for him, it would have taken America would have been in a lot more trouble than it was already in. Because he had to do his part. And then, as he did his part and ministered to people, you know, look at the foundational work of God. God raised up other men of God that learned authority also. The healing crusades. And then when he taught people faith. See, I've been to a holiness church. Holiness church, Pentecostal people are very faithful, but they don't always understand faith. Now, when they have a problem, they go into prayer and worship, or prayer and praise, and speak in tongues until God do something. And they get a lot of things done, but they don't understand the principles of faith sometimes. In some circles, they believe that it's up to God, and they hope the devil don't bother them. Some of them will rebuke the devil, and they get confused. You know, the teaching is like, it's bondage. You know, sometimes it may not be God's will to remove the devil. Sometimes you got to grow through it and learn something. It's a lot of bondage. I've seen the spirit of bondage. That's a spirit. Some gave heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The spirit of bondage is one of them. And the freedom that the word gives you, the spirit of bondage attacks it and keeps you confused. But when he taught faith, now, all those that persevered in the love of God, they saw faith and what it could do. And they have done wonderful things. And Pentecostals that didn't hear about faith, they do wonderful things, but their life is different. They don't always hit the mark. They don't always believe God. If you don't get some things cleared up, your life will reflect it. Now, I lived as a Methodist. I lived as a Pentecostal. And then as I pursued the Lord, I learned to live by my faith. And I learned a lot of it from Kenneth Hagin and people that were students of him. And also Lester Summerall and others. It all works together. I learned about authority. And I learned that I didn't have to take no for an answer. And the Lord taught me some things. They used to talk about what God approves, you know, or God allows, what God allows the devil to do. As if you can't do nothing about it. If God give the, when the Antichrist come, you got to listen to him. No, you don't. Whether it's the Antichrist or many Antichrists. When people are wrong, they just wrong. You have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness at all. And neither does God. And like Laurie Copeland said, there's no rent of devil. God don't. He put him under our feet. But he taught me this in the 80s. He said, I allow what you allow. And that's the same thing Jesus said. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. The question is not, Lord, I hope you don't let the Antichrist come and destroy us. The question is, are you going to allow him to come and destroy you? Jesus told the church to occupy till he come back. Now, as long as I'm on the earth, as long as my feet are on the ground, I refuse to let a devil harass my life or my nation. Now, I know people give place to him and all that, and the wicked will do wickedly, they won't understand. But it's not coming near me, because I'm going to say something. When the enemy works against you, you got to say something. You have every right to bless what you're doing and protect what you're doing. You have every right to bless your children and protect your children. And you protect them with teaching. They need to willingly stay out of trouble. And you can fight for them spiritually, because your grandchildren and their children will depend upon it. So I taught my children not to be in rebellion against God, but to love God. And I told them all the reasons why, and to seek his face and obey him. It's up to them to listen of their own free will, and I understand that. I even told them, I don't need you to put on a show for me. You need to love God like he loves you. Because people are going to do what they want to do, whether you know it or not, like it or not, or hate it. They're going to do what they really want to do, and God's going to allow them to do it. But when you've been taught good things from somebody that loves you, that's high impact. Jesus said in Proverbs, train up a child in the way they should go, and they will not, when they're old, they won't depart from it. And I stand on that. And I pray Psalms 91 over my children and over my ministry and over those who hear me. And I don't do it all the time, but I do it. I pray the protection prayers over people that want to follow God. And I only do it for those who follow him. In 2012, the Lord told me something's happening in the spirit. I want you to pray. So I started praying. But I pray for those who follow God and those that don't, because I knew the difference. He said, no, no, no. She stopped me. He said, only pray for those who follow me. And I did it. I obeyed him. I've been doing it that way ever since. Jesus was specific. He prayed for those who hear him and those who hear those who hear them. So he said to the world, I don't pray for them. And so the Lord corrected me. And that's how I pray now. And that was I found out later that was a significant reason for that at that time. Because that was the first time God ever changed the way I habitually prayed. Now, nevertheless, the Lord, those that love him and want and are willing and obedient, they're the ones God can work with. They become foundational. They'll appreciate the things of God. And the Lord, he started separating that gray area out of the way. People are going to either be cold or hot for him or against. You know, people teach cold or hot different ways, and they got a lot of good points, however they teach it. But God would want, he wants us to be on his side. Or if they really want to go to Satan, it's just like the people that wanted the fish and the loaves. He said, if you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have nothing to do with me. And that's the truth. So when people are foundational, they become everybody that God builds on top of them, on top of their ministry, they're going to be rewarded. The foundation of people may not have all the revelation that others are going to gain because they obeyed him. But we can't do it without him. See, that's why I ended yesterday's broadcast saying the next generation will be greater than the previous. If it does its job, that's how it is. Jesus said, greater works than me will he do that believes. He that believes will do greater works than me. And that's but we couldn't have gotten nowhere without him. So when Kenneth Hagin did his ministry about faith, Charles Capps came along and taught us how to confess the word. And others taught other aspects of faith. And some people, they took the message, got excited, and ran with it and did remarkable things. And they, you know, that's why I loved when God raised up people that will stay connected to the head. And the people that continue, they stay connected to the head. They're always abounding in the things of God. Before Lester Sumrall passed, he knew that greater knowledge was coming and greater moves of God was coming. Greater awakenings were coming. He said, Lord, I want to transition into each one. As long as I'm on earth, I want to be part of the next move of God. I got a book here by Fuchsia Pickett. I refer to it sometimes. And it's called The Next Move of God. And guess what? It's a book that will always be current as long as until Jesus comes. It's called The Next Move of God. And it's applicable to every move of God. And the next move of God, when she wrote this, it was the Word of Faith message. And the Lord started preparing people to hear it before all this. She wrote these things before I was born. And I met her at, I didn't meet her, but I heard her preach in person at the church at Gardendale back in the late 80s. Now, God loves us. I thank God that Lynn Lawson invited her. And I heard her more than once. But this is a beautiful book that she wrote. And when you stick to the principles. Now, I want to share this part, too. It's not fair that I don't. Sometimes people expect the preacher's children to be just like the preacher. And I was working out this morning and thinking about that. How I thought as a child under anointed parents. I didn't see their anointing. I mean, I saw them operate in it. I saw them love God, minister to people, visit people, bless people. I saw them love people. And I knew that the work they were doing was important. But I didn't feel what they feel. I didn't feel what they felt. And I didn't feel what they feel until I was born again. From my perspective, as a preacher's child, I felt I was still a sinner. Was I learning? Yes, I was learning, but I was not connected to God like they were. And the reason I'm saying this is because the only people that feel what anointed people feel are people who are born again. Sometimes people get saved and they're born again. All right. Now they have a choice. They can either love God and reject the world, or if they're curious about the world, they can be leavened by the world. They can be attracted to the world. And it will cause their appetites to change. And they want to try it out, like I did. That were things I wanted to try. And that were times I would have gotten saved, but I wanted to try some things first that I knew wasn't right. Because I wanted to do what my friends talked about and what I saw on TV. And I didn't, you know, when you're a sinner, you don't have all the facts and you don't feel everything. You don't see where you're going. You hope you don't go to hell. You heard about it. And it doesn't feel to make sense to you because you don't understand sin in the first place. However you feel is good. You don't think about where it's going to take your life. Sometimes even Christian people they don't see the harm in doing a little bit of this and that until they try it. And then they get trapped by it. A lot of people get trapped in the world and they want to come out, but they're trapped by their desires, by their frustrations, You don't have to be, in Satan's world, you don't have to be happy. You just got to be a slave. You have to break through it. And that's where faith comes in. And some people, they draw near to the Lord and praise and worship. And they keep, you know, Jesus put it this way. He said, they that mourn and weep. And go back to Matthew 5 again. All right. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When people know that they were wrong, they know they're in trouble, and they ask him for help, he's going to help them. He's going to back them up. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So when people go, Lord, I don't know, I don't like my life no more. I'm messing it up. I need you to help me. And they're mourning. They're going to be comforted because God is alive to comfort them. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They may be powerful, but they restrain themselves from doing others wrong. They're going to outlast the wicked. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now these are covenant curious. They want to know more about God and how the kingdom of God works. And their appetite for the world is gone. They want to do right. They want to learn his ways. And I've been at all these situations. I've been in all of them. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I was wrong. I did God wrong. God saved me anyway. And so now I understand that God is going to do good to anybody that trusts him. So I try to encourage people to focus on him and trust him. Now, this is the one I wanted to get to. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, here, when a person just want to do what's right because it's right, not for rewards, even though it's impossible not to get rewards, they're going to see God. They're the first to see what God is getting at. And they see the reasoning for everything God is saying. And they're fast to adapt. You know,